This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And we are joined once again here in the Bad Ideas virtual space where we all live now because it's 2020, what can you do? But fortunately today we have company to lighten up our digital office. They are the creator of Kalila Stormfire's Economical Magic Services, the owner of Stormfire Productions. It's Lizette Alvarez. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back and I'm glad to get in on this virtual space, which it feels like we are always in a virtual space of bad ideas in 2020.
This is the definition of 2020. We were ahead of the curve, unfortunately.
So this is the show where normally one of the three of us, the hosts, we bring in a bad idea. We horrified the other hosts and our guests. And then we just have 10 minutes to turn it into a good story. But today, the table, it has flipped around.
It has indeed.
And the bad idea bringer is the guest. We are about to be subjected to something that we are completely unprepared for.
I'm excited, you guys, because I think I've mentioned this elsewhere, but I used to work as a media monitor and I would receive essentially this listserv that I am still on called Odd Alert. So in order to find the gem of an article as I'm about to present, that is where I got it from.
Lovely.
So this particular article is set in, I guess maybe it's considered the Florida of Florida, or no? Really, it's the second Florida, which is Mississippi.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that the second Florida of the United States, which is Mississippi.
I see.
And really, this you have to understand this if you have lived in the South. There are some unfortunate connotations to the current version of the Mississippi state flag.
Yes.
So people have decided that it's fine. It's 2020. Maybe one good idea, of course, is to potentially change the state flag.
They voted for it. The legislature, I believe.
Exactly. So
I'm
now
looking,
they've been
looking up like what the Mississippi state flag is.
Oh,
I don't know that I have
it's,
this.
You're not going to like it.
No, it's to be very, very blunt, it includes the Confederate.
Oh, no.
The traitor's flag.
The stars and bars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yep. So I've decided to bring forth one of the rejected versions of the Mississippi state flag, which
is it a trinity of.
I will start with it took 33-year-old Michelangelo 4 years to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
But 26-year-old Thomas Rosette needed just 5 minutes to create the mosquito flag.
No.
Rosette is no student of vexillology. He had never created a flag before.
No.
But as a deckhand on the Yazoo River, he spends his days swatting at a pest that every Mississippian knows too well, the mosquito.
Oh, no.
I've never, never in my life been more glad to be from Louisiana, y'all.
Oh, my God.
So Rosette created the mosquito flag as a joke, but this week it took on a life of its own.
Oh.
I believe people from all backgrounds can get behind this and raise it proudly, Rosette told the Clarion Ledger.
Can we do that face of flags?
He said, I said something like that in the submission email, and now I actually do believe that. Mississippi.
I like the order of that, of like, I said the thing, now I believe it, as opposed to I believe the thing, therefore I said it.
Classic college essay energy.
Yeah, so, seriously.
Essentially, Rosette and nearly 3,000 Mississippians have submitted designs for the new state flag.
Oh, okay.
He initially submitted this flag as a joke, but made it to the second round of 147 designs. He says, I am a sucker for underdog stories, and the mosquito flag was definitely the underdog going into the competition. The flag was cheeky. It was irreverent. It was fun. It was exactly what many Mississippians needed to distract themselves this week from an exceptionally difficult year. But it wasn't long before the Mississippi Department of Archive and History swatted it down.
Oh,
no.
The mosquito flag has been selected accidentally.
Oh, no.
So the reaction online was swift and negative. For Rosette, it was a whirlwind. It was a very emotional hour, Rosette said. I went from the highest of highs to, oh, well, that sucked.
Jeez. Oh, Rosette. My God, the puns are in here, too. Oh, no, I hated this so much.
So I won't go further than that. Basically, yeah, that's the article. If the mosquito flag truly is dead, Rosette said, that's okay. I'm just glad we're moving forward. I don't think they can go wrong. I've seen the designs they have now, and they're not bad.
So what does the mosquito flag look like? Is it just like a mosquito photoshopped onto a flag?
Yes. Yeah, it's basically a mosquito. So hold on, let me pull this up. Mosquito flag. It has a white center with two red bars. There's a mosquito, and then it's a circle of stars surrounding the black mosquito.
Oh. Hello. Okay.
Zach,
I see.
Just screen shared it.
Yep.
That is indeed just a giant mosquito.
Photoshopped into a circle of stars with red bars on the side.
Wow.
Honestly, as someone who has lived in the South, like, I feel like most of the South could probably use a mosquito mascot, because that's all I know in the summer is mosquitoes. I am personally a deluxe dinner for mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
They love me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Same. This is why I don't live in the South anymore.
People like being near me because I'm the one that they bite. So
you're like a lightning rod
for mosquitoes.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Oh dear.
I'm a A1 sauce. My blood's just A1 sauce for mosquitoes.
I'm so
all right. So
let's get 10 minutes on the timer.
Yeah, let's get 10 minutes. All right. You guys ready?
No,
I'm
but
going.
No.
Let's do it anyway.
Oh man. Did anyone see Free State of Jones? Just Free State of Mosquito.
All right, that's the title.
All right,
what do let's follow this gentleman's logic. Instead of doing something first, like instead of believing something first. Yeah, now we can sort of, you know, instead of coming up with the story first, let's begin with the title, Free States of Mosquito. And then we can come up with the movie to fill in the space around it.
That was a, just for anyone who doesn't know, that was a slightly mediocre Matthew McConaughey film that was set during, there's a period in the Civil War, where part of a militia took over a part of Mississippi and seceded from the seceded South. So that's why it was called Free State of Jones. But like, I could very easily see like a piece of the Gulf Coast just deciding to break away from the United States and having this as their flag.
My God. I don't hate it. I think that that's a good way to kind of lead with this. And I think it would just kind of be a question of, and what is the philosophy of the Free States of Mosquito? Is it, you know?
Yeah, that's where it's tricky. Because I know some answers that I would have. I don't like them.
Yeah.
I like, feel like you could have almost like a cult of mosquito.
No, I like that. That's a good direction to steer it towards, is the mosquito as a divine instrument.
And
mosquito,
I think,
as a revered object.
And I think it maybe gets a lot easier if the, you know, if the protagonist is, say, a reporter that is getting sent in to investigate this place. as opposed to sort of us having to be on the side of the free state of Mosquito.
Or I'm going to bring up another deeply mediocre movie, which I forget the name of it was, but it's Emma Watson and Daniel Brühl, I think, where like he's in a cult and she joins the cult to like rescue her boyfriend.
Oh,
and,
dear.
Like, has to get him out. And so this right. could be a situation where someone.
It's a rescue op.
It's a rescue op by going inside. And then you have to navigate the weird cult-like politics stuck in the middle of a swamp. Like,
you're gonna have to drink
very...
someone's blood to join this place.
Oh, no!
Isn't like this just yeah, gonna have no, to happen, isn't it? Like
yeah.
there's no way around it.
No,
like,
no, I am
if it's
curious.
A mosquito
what...
cult.
I am curious though, like what virtues of the mosquito would this cult profess?
Well,
you take what
blood
you
is
want.
Power. You take it, and so yes, we
ubiquity,
become mosquitoes.
They're everywhere.
We become the mosquito,
right.
and we gain the power.
No, it would probably need to along with that. I think it would also probably need to be something along the lines of like you have to be a cult that is kind of based on. You yourself are this humble, insignificant thing. You kind of only matter as part of this swarm. Don't think of yourself as important. You are this like
you
tiny thing. Yeah.
You could also imagine it as like even you as the one person is super annoying.
Also that. Mm. Also that.
And like it could sort of be kind of like a flat earther anti-vaxxer vibe. Like a lot of those. This is a rejection of science. This is a rejection of sort of the establishment culture, like actually being part of this swarm ecosystem is the healthiest way to be.
Here it is. Humanity's number one usefulness is to them feed mosquitoes, and that all of our ideas of culture.
That's from Stitch, Lilo and Stitch.
I didn't see
little
it.
Alien?
I hadn't seen
okay,
it.
So
yeah.
In Lilo and Stitch, one of the reasons why aliens have not invaded Earth is because it's a dedicated sanctuary for mosquitoes.
For mosquitoes. That's
oh,
right.
Wow.
Oh my God.
That is the that's the plot.
That's amazing.
it's one of the plot points, yeah.
Let's talk for a moment about the cult leader. How much are they like ideologically into it versus how much are they just an evil asshole that
so,
is?
I think it depends how sci-fi we want to go, because there's one world where it's just like somebody trying to get one up over on the people who give them all their stuff when they sign up. There's another world where it's fucking the guy from The Fly, but it was a mosquito and he's just
it's
like
a mosquito. No, like there's this whole thing of like scientists are trying to like genetically modify mosquitoes so that they don't produce or that they die out.
Oh,
this
the gene
is a
drive.
Super mosquito. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So this has
gone the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Is it a human mosquito hybrid or is it just a super mosquito that
I
can
would
speak
say,
with
I'm
us
gonna
telepathically?
Super. I'm going to go super mosquito.
With like, telepathic powers.
Yeah.
Done.
Whenever you listen to it speak directly into your brain, you cry tears of joy.
It's like Galadriel.
Yeah.
She just like peers into your soul.
In that case, I would say that like the cult. So like the super mosquito, these words that I'm about to say, my God. So the super mosquito is at the top of the cult. Uh-huh. Directly underneath him, there has to be like his six lieutenants.
Right.
And nobody sees the super mosquito. It's like the six lieutenants go into like his house and they talk to him. And then they come back out and they relay his will to the people.
Right.
And our protagonist has to be like very convinced that it's like, these six lieutenants are full of fucking bullshit. There's no such thing as a fucking super mosquito. I'm going to expose this as the sham that it is. And then they go into that house and sure as fucking hell, there is 100% the super mosquito in there.
Just like, and you don't see him at first.
Right.
Well,
it's in the darkness.
It's in the dark and it's also super small. And then you hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you hear a voice and it's Charlize Theron.
Right, but like before that, there's kind of a like Silence of the Lambs style. Like they're like going around the house with a flashlight.
Right.
Like,
right.
Where is this thing? And you're like ready for it to be like a big creepy monster, and then turns out that it's a small creepy monster. Voiced by Charlize Theron. Perfect.
All right. So we have 3 minutes left on the clock here. Let's get back into who's the investigator.
Is this like a Midsommar like conversion story?
I mean, this is this in our Ari, what's his name? Aster?
Aster.
This is an Ari Aster when he's like, I just want to fucking make a dark, like something stupid.
Like, oh yeah, the studio's like, you can make whatever you want, but first you have to make something, like, in 3 days. Go.
Wait, like, we need the script on Monday, and it's Sunday afternoon.
And he goes and looks up, you know, all right, what are some weird shits happening? And they see this super Mississippi mosquito. Flag. Thing.
Super mosquito cult.
Let's go, yeah.
There we are.
All right. What's the protagonist again? Like, so the motivation, of course, is this, like, I would say happens to like, obviously we don't get to the mosquito until like
that's the end,
right?
Yeah,
what are some of the kind of like midpoints that is concerning enough to either like take the journalist or whoever in a direction of like, oh, that we really need to break up this cult this is just a, you know, silly, ridiculous cult. Does somebody have to die?
I mean, I think like there needs to be like coolers of blood, and where did the blood come from?
Right. And there are stories about, and like, you know, there's a fiction presented of kind of, you know, oh no, these are, you know, like, this is blood from cows from an ethical butcher. And like, you know, like, instead of it getting wasted, we sort of like get it, we buy it. It helps to pay for like more ethical handling of animals.
Mm-hmm. So it is that kind of like Midsommar where it's like, it's weird, but it's not sinister. Yes.
And there's like, and there are always stories that are unlikely but plausible. Like things that you kind of go like, okay, now that you explain that, I suppose it makes a kind of sense. Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah.
Right.
All right. We have 50 seconds on the clock. I want two things. I want the name of the super mosquito.
And I would pronounced.
either that or like, you know, like Moz Keto.
I also want the name of the group that surround of the lieutenants.
Oh, the cult?
The name of the cult or the name of the group of lieutenants.
The group of lieutenants can be called like the buzzers or like the bloodied or something like that.
The bloodied. I like the bloodied.
The bloodied is really metal. I love that.
All right, cool. All right, we got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're good. All right.
There we go.
Jesus Christ. Wow, Mississippi. Wow.
Wow, Mississippi. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. Sorry, I should have counted down through Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
I missed that chance.
I'm going to have to rewatch Sound of My Voice. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's Britt Marling from the OA. It's like a feature that I think she did before. She leads a cult, and we all go into the cult with this like, I'm YouTube journalist that gets in too deep.
Oh no!
Like, is she really from the future?
There's something compelling about cults. Now we've had, a couple of
the
cults.
The only thing that would make it would be a super mosquito.
Well, we'll try and find one, I guess, and be back in a minute.
Hello there, Zach Valenti jumping into this episode really quick with this brief message. As you've probably heard, Gabrielle, Sarah, and myself are currently fundraising for our latest and hopefully greatest audio fiction project to date. Check out www.unseen.show to learn more about our debut audio fiction fantasy series coming soon and currently fundraising on Kickstarter. We're about halfway through the campaign, and holy smokes, we have been blown away by the amazing support from all of you, our dear listeners. By helping us raise our minimum budget of $10,000 in the first 2 days of the campaign, we've been inspired to reach even higher. In these last 2 weeks of the campaign, we want to see if we can make three more special bonus episodes with three of our favorite writers from the audio fiction community. So if you haven't supported yet, please check out www.unseen.show and get yourself a sweet reward to help us reach our stretchiest stretch goals. If you have supported us, thank you so, so much. And if you're not in a position to support us in this strange year of 2020, we completely understand. Just you listening to this program makes a difference, and sharing the campaign with any friends or family or strangers on social media that you think might like Unseen would make a world of difference as well. Once more, head on over to www.unseen.show to check out the Kickstarter for our new fantasy audio fiction program, Unseen. All right, that's it for now. Now it's time for more No Bad Ideas. So I'm afraid we may have found a super mosquito, but we'll never know because we accidentally killed it because it bit one of us. Poor super mosquito. No. We're back.
Way to deflect the blame there, Zach. I'm just kind of like,
someone.
It bit us first, and it was definitely not me. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, Chris. Listen, no, I'm a mosquito assassin.
As well, you should be.
Hate those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Those mother suckers.
Yeah, I feel like it's the state of nature. It's fair game. If they're going to bite you, you should be able to bite back.
Fair enough. I guess.
So I am delighted to bring you all into a very, very, very destroyed house.
All right.
Join me in what is from the mirror.co.uk. I'm just going to go ahead with the title because, as Sarah said in the last episode, it's just all there. Children, quote, destroy parents' house, and they post hilarious listing to sell it. Homeowners who moved away and left their property in the care of their children return to find holes punched in the walls and missing floorboards, and have now listed the house for sale. The four-bedroom house in New South Wales, Australia, is described as, barely livable. And advises house hunters looking for a quick move to give it a miss due to destruction found after stepping through the front door. The marketing video makes no attempt to hide the glaring holes in the wall, missing floorboards, and mold, thanks to the previous owners for, quote, doing the courtesy of starting the renovation one punch at a time.
Wow.
What did these kids do?
It's
How
listed,
old are these kids?
I'm not sure. We'll get there soon.
Okay.
It's listed with an asking price of about £246,000 and has racked up thousands of views on realestate.com.au after the state of the property went steeply downhill with the long-term owners moved away and left it to their children. Matt Gravis, a real estate agent for Gitos, said, quote, they clearly enjoyed the place a bit too much and unfortunately destroyed the property from throwing lots of wild parties, among other things.
Okay, so one would presume drinking age. How long were the parents gone then?
We shall see. When the parents returned home, Matt said they were left with no choice but to sell after seeing the havoc waiting for them inside. The virtual tour points out the feature of deconstructed walls in the entrance with wires hanging loose and a gaping hole at the floor of the doorway. It states the kitchen has been, quote, partly renovated with the other part found in one of the bedrooms, featuring a bespoke mold splashback, a theme the owners have kept going.
Don't like that.
Throughout the house. Inspecting the master bedroom, it says, quote, plenty of light in this room. Custom made one-of-a-kind stained carpet. And an open open plan suite. Nothing says romance like lying in bed talking to your partner while they're on on the tush.
See, I was thinking because there's a lot of light. I was thinking of like there's a hole in the ceiling.
That's where my mind went to.
When I was reading it. In the bathroom, the renovation is already underway with the addition of a fresh toilet roll and hole in the door. An asbestos hole in the wall is passed off as abstract art, and the seller promises to throw in the treasure trove of junk lurking under the foundation of the house for no extra cost.
Oh, isn't that kind?
So sweet.
But despite the rotting timber decking, missing floorboards, overgrown garden, and rusted shed, the listing agent has said it sparked a lot of interest from first-time buyers looking to get on the market and build after a project. Or builders after a project. Lots of buyers are keen to do a mini reno on the property, while a few are looking to.
That's not
going to
be a mini reno. That's going to be a big reno.
Yeah.
First home buyers have really come back into the market as of late, and we are being inundated with requests. So, no final word on the age of the kids or how long they had it to themselves to destroy. But y'all will have 10 minutes on the clock.
So this is definitely like a one-up of like, you know, how to market your odd place on top of the not haunted kind of listings.
Right. Yeah.
And the other thing here is like, I feel like there should be, you know, some kind of expose on this family dynamic.
Yeah. Seriously.
A reality show.
Honestly.
Or this was just like the most epic party that's ever happened. And it got wildly out of control. Right.
Measured by limbs through walls.
Yeah.
No, like that would have to be like.
This is the party where multiple people discover that they have superpowers. And can't control them.
Or like, I think about like that like LCD sound system song, like Daft Punk is playing at my house. That's just like. Just like this fantasy of this like 13-year-old kid that is like, I'm going to mow all the lawns and save up enough money so that I can like hire Daft Punk to play at like my basement for my like birthday party. It would need to be sort of like that level of a thing. Right. Just kind of like someone had to connect with someone famous. And when that same famous someone showed up, like the entire town came over.
I feel like to bring in like kind of the real estate aspect of this is that their parents are realtors. I think the parents need to be the realtors because they're the ones who potentially, what if they actually got the current house and this kid grew up in this house that was constantly being renovated?
Yeah.
They're constantly being and maybe one of the things that really like, you know, get this teenage kid, of course, any teenage kid that has that level of a fantasy has some trouble in their home life.
Totally.
So I feel like their parents, like, you know, they argue back and forth about the property values.
They've never felt like their parents treated as a home. It's always this artificial place that keeps getting. Yeah. Keeps getting renovated.
But there's also this element of. If only you'd pay as much attention to me as you pay to the house.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that feeds into, you know, them leaving.
There's this element of revenge.
Right.
Like, there's this element of like, I'm going to show you what I think about your precious house.
But then this is the twist I want to put on it is that when the parents come back and see the carnage, they see it as an opportunity
to renovate.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my
and
God.
So like, instead of, you know, it's now like a producer's scenario. You can make more with a flop than with a hit.
With a hit. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So they spend like 5 seconds being like, bad child. And then they're like, oh my God, we could redo the jacuzzi. Holy shit.
Right. This is a chance to install a new island in the kitchen. Yeah.
The skylight we could build.
the hole is already there in
so
the
like,
ceiling.
Am I grounded or what? Yeah. We'll get back to you.
And then he kills them. it's the only way.
I was thinking like close to those lines, but then I feel like he has to have friends. He has to have a couple of allies with him in getting this done. Is that they have to find a way to completely destroy the house so there's no possibility for renovation.
No. Okay, so we're not going full hostile.
No. I want to throw in just like a slight twist on that. he has all these complicated feelings about the house and his parents. His parents go away for the weekend or however long, leave him alone. His friends are kind of the ones that are like, dude, you have to throw a party. Like, come on, you live in the fucking coolest house in town. You're on your own. We're 16 and idiots. We have to throw a party. He finally relents. And at first, he's very like, no, be careful, please. Like, my parents will kill me if you damage the screen doors. What about, oh, no, careful, don't put, remember
coasters,
the coasters.
Coasters.
Yeah. Right. And finally, something happens, though, that, like, one of his asshole friends, like, does something and, like, breaks a statue or something.
Breaks, or punches a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Punches a hole in a wall that, like, or like, breaks something that was recently renovated that you just maybe just saw, like, him, like, be pissed that their parents were focused on that rather than him.
Yes.
Right, right.
And once
right.
that yes. breaks.
Then it's, like, in for a penny, for in for a pound. You know what? Fuck it.
Right,
and it's
right,
like,
right.
you know, like he, the beast is unchained.
Right. The built-in shelf gets destroyed and the family photo where he's like in the corner and the parents are like smiling with the living room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like there and he's like, I'm gonna get their attention once and for all. And he punches the hand through the wall.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. And it sort of flips from like he's the one that is trying to protect the house to no. being the one that is like, this house is going
whoever
down.
Does the most damage gets the most shots.
Everybody.
Yeah, and I think that there's an initial party, right? Yeah. And that's the initial party, right?
That's party yeah. number one.
That's party number one.
No question. Do the parents come back after party number one? And like we said, like they are like, oh, this is a chance, but we need to have multiple parties.
No,
I think the parents are gone for a week.
Yeah, I think the parents are gone. The parents are gone for a week. Party two is now like, oh, Jim Bob.
Bring your sledgehammer.
Like, no, but like, you know, like, you know, like your cousin who has that like punk band that they've been trying to look for a place to play. Bring him on.
Oh, right.
Like, I don't know if there's a place big enough in your house, man. Don't worry. We're going to knock down a wall. We're going right. to make the space.
Phil, like, does your brother still have that fire problem where he just like can't stop playing with matches? Yeah, it's getting really bad. Yeah, bring him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like at some point, you know, okay, at some point, like,
more,
you know, what is...
One
okay.
more. Just like, Susie, were you still looking for a place to keep that horse for a while? Bring it over. You know, just like, stick it in my parents' bedroom. It's fine.
All right, so at what point, what is the thing that makes him pause again? Like, doubt. Yeah. Like, oh, maybe I've gone too far.
I think there can be, like, a friend who maybe he has some romantic crush feelings towards, who like acts as a voice of conscience. It's like, right. why are you really doing this?
Yeah.
And they're maybe,
yeah.
and they're maybe reluctantly on board the first party mm-hmm. and kind of like, you know what? You really need this.
You need
to get in some trouble, but like, it'll be good for you. By like party number four is they're like, no, this is,
I don't
cool
recognize
anymore.
You anymore.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah,
like you have some unresolved issues that this is not like, this
is not a healthy outlet.
Outlet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, yeah, there's a point of doubt, and maybe it is maybe what if it like the destruction moves into his room?
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something about his room that like, I don't know. Maybe something happens.
It's like a good visual symbol for him, like sort of trying to hurt part of himself. Right.
That's like, that's what the friend does to like wake him up. Like she goes into his room and like
takes,
you know,
something
like,
and like breaks it
and breaks it. Yeah. Something that like he had. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And I think at that point, I think we can then have the parents come back, mm-hmm. have the reaction. And because I think it would create some real gray area
yeah.
for the kid, because there's already some doubt, but then like the parents just reinforce.
Aren't they so awful? Yeah. Nothing's changed.
The parents
changed.
Have to come back yeah. 1 week, like one night early though. They have to come back during the
yes.
last party.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's that. They have that heartfelt moment in our main character's room. He realizes this has all been a mistake. And then like you hear the car pull up into the driveway and like the beep of the lock.
And like, he doesn't even run outside. He's just like, death, I welcome
and,
you.
And I think like you hear that maybe, and that's when everything gets muffled and he just mm-hmm. like sitting on his bed, just like dead face.
Yeah. Just disassociates a little bit.
just like, I'm going away now. Goodbye.
All right. So where does this go from here, from this point? Like, the parents clearly don't react. So I would say the morning right. after.
Yeah.
The kid they're is
pissed,
like.
They're pissed the night off. The next morning, he like wakes up. He's going to go apologize. And by then, that's when they're like, you know, this is really an opportunity. This is a blessing in disguise. Yeah.
So where do we move from there? Because I feel like it could go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, so I kind of, or go ahead.
It kind of depends, because if this is kind of like a sober indie dramedy, then I think that like that goes to a place of kind of like him realizing like, my God, like I'm like, you just don't care about me and like you never will, and kind of has to like go and look for a support system, and probably sort of like ends on this like bittersweet note of him finding sort of like his real family while still being aware of like, I'm gonna have to live with these people for 2 more years and it's gonna suck, but I'm gonna get through it with my friends.
Maybe like with the friends, and even with like his family, like with the, or his cousin with the punk band. Maybe like the punk band like got like, you know, helped him like work through some of the family stuff. And maybe the guy in, or the sister, cousin like has like, I know what you're going through and this is one of my outlets.
Does he end up buying a van that he turns into like a home sleeper van?
Yeah. That like on his own little mini renovation.
Yeah. He can use it to escape from the perils of real estate.
And that's time.
Oh man.
So I know that this is already a movie that exists, but I cannot think of a better title for this than Bringing Down the House.
That's really good. I was going to say Homesick Home.
That's pretty good. That's pretty sick.
Not bad at all.
It doesn't fit quite on the nose. But this is amazing, y'all. Thank you for taking this idea and making it so entertaining. Seriously.
Oh man. Thank you for bringing this idea. My goodness.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Great.
Well, Lizette, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love creative exercises like this. And, I think any of these, I hope somebody will pay us for.
Yes.
to produce. Putting that energy out there.
Well, while we wait for that person to materialize, if people want to check out some of your creative exercises, what's the best way to do that? What's the best place for that?
So the best place really is, as many podcasters are, on Twitter. Nice, you can find my Twitter, personal Twitter, at Lisette Walking. That is Lisette, Lisette, walking, like you're walking around on your feet. Something that we're trying to do more of outside. The other place is for Kalila Stormfire. You can find Kalila Stormfire. You don't have to type out the entire Kalila Stormfire's Economical Magic Services. You can just type in Kalila Stormfire, anywhere you get your podcasts, anywhere on, Twitter, Tumblr. And we have a website, and you can also check out any new projects coming through Stormfire Productions at Stormfire LLC on Twitter.
Nice.
Brilliant. Well, everyone should go do that. Exactly. Yeah. And thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you so much to everyone that tuned in. We'll be back next week with more bad ideas.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.